The NFL plays here.
Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night football on WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 9.
Banging to the goal line. Crosses. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with all the top players of today's game and more.
As we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta, we are living in a painful, never-ending paradox. Pandora's box has been opened, and the Atlanta Falcons, for the eighth consecutive season, will not be making the playoffs and will not have a winning record. Welcome into the Atlanta Falcons Flyover. My name is Chris Thomas Turtle, and I am with you until 7:30, 404-726-0929. Get on the horn right now, 404-726-0929. I can't believe we're here, but I can. And that's the saddest part about this whole thing. I can't believe we're here again, but I can absolutely freaking believe it at the exact same time. This team, for the third time in 13 games played this season, got utterly embarrassed. I did the numbers. You know what that is? 24% of the time the Atlanta Falcons have taken the field in 2025. They have been dismantled, blown out, obliterated. Whatever words you want to use, they are all accurate. To describe the state of this franchise right now, abysmal, despondent, catastrophic. It is all on the table. 404-726-0929. Oh, you played well in the first half. Oh, talk about a team. You know what good teams do? They make adjustments. And you know what the Seattle Seahawks did? They made adjustments in the second half, and they rammed the ball down your throat. Sam Darnold throws for three touchdowns. Turn the ball over. Kirk Cousins intercepted. You give up a 100-yard, 100-yard kickoff return? Come on. Like, I need your help because I'm just going to sit here and scream for the next 90. But I can't do it. It's unbelievable. How did we get here? Well, when you don't have a head coach, when you don't have a quarterback, when you don't have an offensive coordinator, when you don't have a wide receiver that can catch a ball, when you have a tight end that's underperformed until the last two games of the season, when you have a defense that's been vastly overrated, they break, they don't bend, and you have special teams that are not only the worst in the NFL, the worst I've ever seen. The Atlanta Falcons 2025 special teams unit, from pillar to post, kicking, kickoffs, punts, returns, coverage, is the worst I've ever seen in my entire life as a football fan. That's how you get here. That's how you get to 4-9. Another lost season. Another season down the drain for this Atlanta Falcons franchise. Where's the direction? Where's the leadership? Arthur Blank, I need to hear from you. I got to hear something, man. I can't wait another month to hear from you. I got to hear something. I got to hear from leadership. That's not just Raheem Morris taking the bullets for his players like he said last week. What a joke of a comment that was. Where's the bullet taken today, Ra? Where is it, Ra? Come on, man. You going to cape up for you guys again today after that performance? Nobody showed up to play. Nobody. James Pierce was about the only person I saw out there playing representative football today. Kentavious Street. A couple of guys. A.J. Terrell gave up his first touchdown since last season. Because that's how bad it was. He had a snap streak that was damn impressive of not giving up a touchdown. JSN, bye-bye. Two tutties. That's all she wrote. This thing has reached depths of oblivion that I did not think were remotely possible when we signed on this season, you and I together. Us going to Flowery Branch as a station, watching Penix sling it, watching these young cats on defense being like, damn, I think we got something here. watching Jeff Ulbrich take over, trying to watch Zach Robinson evolve in year two. None of it worked. It's all for nothing. Because now you find yourselves at 4-9 with the season over, 8 straight losing seasons. And today you watch as the Panthers look to take over this division, as the Bucks try to give it away. But where are you? You are buried to the point where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Where are you? You're closer to the Saints than those. I'll tell you that right now. You're closer to the Saints than those two. Your only win in the last, 6 games is against the Saints. You lose to the Jets, and you were in the game. You think, okay, Seattle's better, but we play good teams well. And you did for a half, and then it all fell apart. They outscored you, 33 points in the second half? I mean, this thing has spiraled in a way. Again, I think if you injected everybody, both fans, all of us here at 92.9, the media, even the coaching staff and the players, if you injected us all with truth serum and asked us to predict our worst-case scenario, none of us would have envisioned this, because it's not just 4-9. It's 4-9 with no quarterback. It's 4-9 without being able to watch Penix grow. It's 4-9 with Drake London missing the last 3 games. It's 4-9 with an entire regime change needed. You can make the argument to keep Ulbrich, but guess what? If they got rid of him, see ya. Well, what? You think James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker and Xavier Watts aren't going to be good without Ulbrich? Please. I think we're seeing it's a lot more about the collective talent on this team than it is about the coaching, because the coaching sucks. The coaching sucks. And you guys know me. I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to do that. Well, you know what? I have to, because it's too late. Guys, it's too late. I cannot rightfully sit here and defend anything. Everything is on the table. I cannot sit here and defend a damn thing. You want to tell me that you're going to trade everybody? Go ahead. You want to sit here and tell me that you want to try to recoup a first-round pick? Go ahead. How can I sit after watching that slop today? You lose by 32 points. Seattle's good. But what you let them do to you, they took your soul in the second half of that game. They took it from you. And they snatched it and they danced all over the field with it, stomping on your grave as JSN found the end zone twice. Sam Darnold heated up after a terrible first half and wound up throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. The defense smothered you in the second half of that game. You couldn't do anything on offense. The one big play you had with Darnell Mooney gets wiped out because he went out of bounds and he didn't reestablish himself. It's a joke. I don't sit here and come on the radio and just blaspheme and name call. That's not my style. I think that's amateur hour radio if that's what you have to do. But today, I can't do anything else. It is a joke. The Atlanta Falcons at 4-9 with the effort that they, because it's not just that you lose. It was a you-know-what poor effort from this team all around. Nothing worked. Nobody played well. Nobody coached well. You had a freaking kick blocked. You had a field goal kick blocked. Come on, man. Get out of here with that. Everybody deserves blame. Everybody deserves accountability. And when we get back, Scott, Paul, James, I see y'all up first. We'll take your calls. I'm here till 7:30 on the Falcons flyover, man. It's a joke, and everybody deserves blame, and there is no moral victory, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, to be happy about today. Back with you in 5. Highlights from the game. There were no highlights from this game, so producer E texts me, and he goes, you want me to come in with the highlights as usual? I said, no. One word, no. They don't deserve it today. They don't deserve it today. What highlight? Highlights? You lost 37-9, damn it. What highlights? Oh, you're gonna play a Zane Gonzalez field goal? I'm not talking at you. I'm just saying, in general, the Falcons don't deserve highlights today.
I know what you mean. I feel you.
We usually come back from the break with highlights. There are no highlights from this game. You played like crap. The second half was an absolute abomination. Highlights. Playoffs. Yeah, try 8 straight years without the playoffs. Try 8 straight years with a losing record. It's bull crap. And I'm sick of it. And it's funny, E, I had multiple people, and then we're going to get right to your call. Scott, Austin, Paul, James, Brandon, y'all are up first. I had multiple people, I'm talking 3 or 4 different people in the break, hit me up at C Thomas Radio. Give me a follow if you don't already. We'll talk all things Atlanta sports. And be like, Turtle, I've never heard you like this before. Yeah, because I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope, y'all. I got nothing left. This season has taken it all out of me. In every way, shape, and form. I am maxed out right now. And we got 4 more weeks of this crap. We got another month of listening to Raheem Morris. Because here's the thing. Raheem Morris isn't gone until the end of the year. Because there's nobody to coach. Jeff Ulbrich is the only remotely good thing going right now. I'm not pulling him away from defensive duties to coach the team. I'm not doing it. You want Zach Robinson as head coach for the last couple of weeks? So we got 4 more weeks of this crap. And I'm sick of it. Again, I don't do scream and yell radio, but how can I not? How can I sit there and watch that today and justify anything other than scream and yell radio? I mean, unless I just go comatose on y'all, which, that's not my jam either. I'm passionate. I'm fired up. I'm emotional and petty, as y'all know from the night show. I don't play this, though. This is too much. You played 13 games, and in 3 of them, you've been absolutely embarrassed. You've gotten the floor wiped with you. You've had people dancing on your name on the A in Atlanta and the Falcons in the end zone. Dancing on your grave. And your season was put 6 feet under today. It's absolutely embarrassing. It's awful. It's humiliating. It's disgusting. It's whatever word you want to use. And I am sick of it. I've been in Atlanta now. I just celebrated 5 years. And I haven't seen anything. I have not seen a winning season. I have not seen a playoff berth. I have not seen good quarterback play. I have seen nothing but losing and failure for 5 straight years, and I know that that's nothing compared to some of y'all who have been here your entire life, but I'm just saying, my entire time here covering the Falcons every single day for 92.9 The Game for 5 straight seasons, I've watched every play because I have to. This is all I've seen, and it's so sickening. It just makes me feel like crap. It's just having to root on a losing franchise, a joke of a franchise. Arthur Blank, please say something, do something, please. At this point, we have to do something, or at least let us know something's going to be done. How about everybody out there? How about we all phrase it that way, right? So it doesn't sound like we're just shooting at the moon here for something that's not going to happen. We know no changes are going to be made right now. But just reassure us as we sit here and beg and plead at 6:25 on a Sunday after another humiliating loss. Just let us know something's going to be done. Because what do we have? We don't have a quarterback. We don't have a head coach. We don't have wide receiver. We don't have anything. We have a couple of young studs on defense. That's all we have. It's unbearable. It's awful. It's so, so bad. Scott's up next. Scott, go ahead.
Turtle, there's no magic analysis after a game, another catastrophic loss like we had today. There's no magic analysis, but I'm at a crossroads. The money, gas money to get there, the food money, I mean, all kinds of investments, time, energy. I don't know what to do anymore at this point. I'm really considering not having season tickets next season because we were sold snake oil this season about playoffs, getting into the playoffs, and yet it was all basically manure. But we were sold it as snake oil that we were going to get to the playoffs. It might be the biggest con job in Atlanta history. I mean, as far as I can remember, and I've been here a long time, was born and raised here. But, you know, it's not just that we're losing, it's how we're losing. I mean, we're putrid in every facet that you can possibly think of. Our best players aren't stepping up. I mean, the fact that Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson are still making the same boneheaded blunders, our special teams is a joke. You name it, it's a problem. And I just, the last thing I want to say is, anyone who's had a job, let alone multiple jobs, or, you know, gone far in a business, I just don't understand how you can run a business or organization like this, because when you're constantly not meeting expectations, I mean, you're most likely a performance plan, and you're going to be told if you don't improve, you're going to get fired. But yet, we talk about Raheem Morris. We can't make changes until the end of the season. How much worse can it possibly get if we make Ulbrich the interim head coach? Or anybody? Raheem Morris has more than worn out his welcome, and I think most fans are tired of him on the sidelines. They're tired of him. They're tired of Zach Robinson. We want to change, because this is not working, and it's an art form the way they manage to lose. It just gets worse every single week. It gets worse. I mean, you don't think it could get any worse, and then it does. We look like we don't practice. We look like we just don't want to be there, frankly. And the last question I'll ask you is, if we continue to let Raheem Morris coach these last four games, minus the report about him potentially still coming back next year, is that going to do more detrimental harm to the future of this organization? Because it's worth asking at this point, because I strongly feel like these players are regressing badly. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, I always love the passion and energy. Thanks for checking in. No, I'll say no is the answer to your question, because Ulbrich's the wall between those two things. Because all the guys that we're watching right now are on defense. It's Watts, it's Pierce, it's Walker. Those are the guys that we need to be paying attention to. Bijan, we know what we're going to get. Drake's out. The offensive line is what it is. I would not be opposed to making changes at center, at left tackle, at guard. I think there could be upgrades at several positions there. You have no wide receivers to speak of, and Pitts is going to be gone. So I think, you know, Raheem being there at this point, it is what it is. I just, the only thing to hang your hat on right now is some of the performances on defense. So I just don't want to take Ulbrich away from the one decent thing that's happening right now. Despite giving up 37 points, we know a lot of that has to do with giving up a 100-yard kickoff return and having a field goal blocked. If Marquise Williams is still the coach tomorrow, I don't even know what to say. I literally will be lost for words. And that's not a good thing when you're a talk show host. Austin's in the A. Austin.
Hey, Chris. First time caller. Glad to be calling in. I just wanted to tell you that I was at the game today, and it was just silent. Throughout the entire time, it was silent. And it's understandable, because we have such a horrible record. And it was like watching the entire time. The defense did good the second half, but it's like you can't expect them to do great in the second half, because, like, well, they're tired, you know. You're watching Kirk Cousins throw interceptions. Like, how do these people still have jobs? And every time our offense got the ball, they were just immediately giving it to Bijan. And it even at one time, Cousins, you know, had yelled, "Reggie, Reggie." So they automatically knew we were going to the right. And it's just super upsetting. I'm so over this season. We were there today, and it was terrible. I just don't understand, like, how you don't fire a coach this, you know. It's never a good look to fire the coach midseason, but as the previous callers have said, you know, leave the defensive coordinator on, because he's doing his job. But everything else is like, every time you look down at the field, even at the game, you just see Raheem staring at the screen, and we're all just over it. You know, we have one wide receiver who can catch the ball, and it's Drake London, and he's out. And it's like, Kyle Pitts can only do so much. Obviously, I don't want him to come back, you know. I don't want that either. But it's like, God, somebody just catch the ball. How are we not able to score one? I ran 10 miles this morning at thinking, okay, the Falcons should surely score more than 10. Nope. I ran more miles than the Falcons offense scored. And that's all I wanted to say, Chris.
Yeah, so. No, Austin, it's a great call. Appreciate it. Sorry you had to suffer through that today in person. I know the crowd, you know, I saw the video right before the game started where the crowd, the building literally looked empty. And I guess by the time the game had kicked off, there were some more butts in seats. But to Austin's point, even though there were butts in seats, there was no energy. And how can we expect y'all to have energy when that's the performance that's being put out? You can't. I would assume it sounded like a freaking Morgan there in the second half. How could it not? The only thing you probably heard were the Seattle fans and they're cheering. And they were there, trust me, when I got here to Signia, where I broadcast from for the flyover at the home games. It's a beautiful spot. But when I walk in, all I saw were Seahawks jerseys. Why? Because all the Falcons fans went home. All the Falcons fans went home because they were watching another crap product put on display today as you got embarrassed at home for the second or third time this season. Disgusting. Paul's in Alpharetta. Paul.
Chris, thanks for having me, man. You know, like you said at the beginning of the year going down to Flowery Branch thinking we had some, these first couple games, they actually looked all right. I mean, I remember telling my buddies, I said, look, I know we lost a couple close ones. We beat the Bills on primetime. They were playing complimentary football. It wasn't great. It was good enough, though, to win ball games. And I really thought they were going to come down the stretch. I thought they'd sneak out a couple victories. And you've just seen it over these last couple weeks, man, where the players have just been regressing. They've been playing horrible ball. Raheem Morris, I mean, I don't know how this guy's a head coach. I don't know how he's been a head coach previously. He has no emotion, no fire. You know, the guys have totally quit on him, man. And I think it was made obvious when they lost to the Jets. You know, the Jets get a ton of hate. Everyone's saying fire Woody. What about fire Arthur Blanks, man? He's a nice guy. He's charitable. He's not an owner. He's not doing what he needs to do. You know, Raheem Morris, they need to get rid of him. I mean, he's just standing there on the sideline. And it's obvious, man, at this point, the guys have quit on him. So what they're going to do is they'll stick with the coaching staff, you know, and they're going to look for a new coach this year. Who are they going to get? That's my question to you. Who's going to want to come to Atlanta? Who's going to be available? Mike Tomlin? Do they need to come to Atlanta? I mean, the guy's been 30 years.
No, and I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for checking in. Again, the guy I want, if you've been missing it, is Mike McCarthy. That's the guy that I want to come here. I think he can come in and stabilize the franchise and win you know, 9-10 games a year. And he's a guy that's going to come in and be able to set the record straight. I just think when it comes down to it, that's the type of coach that you need. That's the type of coach that could come in here and stabilize the franchise. And today was the ending. The fat lady sung on Raheem Morris here in Atlanta. I think today was the ultimate day. If they try to bring him back next year, y'all are going to revolt, and I wouldn't blame you. And I'd be right here to take your calls on that as well. James is in Gainesville. James.
Hey, Turtle, hope you're doing good. I just want to say, you know, that I think, you know, that Raheem Morris is not holding people accountable as a coach, and he's not accountable himself to play in a decent game and whatnot, you know, and I think, you know, we shouldn't have been in this situation with special teams going into this week, but more ought to have been done, you know what I mean? And
I totally got you. What else you got?
Well, another thing is I think what you're seeing now is with what the team is, the front office is not successful at building a team up, you know, and you have to have backup players and stuff that can go out there and play so that if somebody gets injured, you're not just sitting there with nobody, you know.
Look what happened when Divine Diablo went out. The whole defense fell apart.
Yeah, so I'm saying we got to build depth better. You know, we're making the wrong picks and whatnot. But the Chicago Bears are going to be a playoff team this year because they got Drew Dahlman and Grady Jarrett, you know. And I think like they made, you know, Ike Hilliard into being a scapegoat. And I think Ray McLeod is right, you know. I mean, who wants to play for Atlanta if you got a bad coach like Raheem, you know. I mean, I would want to be a draft pick come to Atlanta next year. I mean, what do you think the record's going to be next year? I mean, you know, we'll talk about it.
Well, James, I don't think, and I appreciate the call. We just got to run. We got to catch a break. The regime will not be the same next year. So no matter what you think about what's going on right now, I don't think draft picks from next year are going to have to worry about which Falcons coaches they wouldn't want to play for right now. I mean, listen, of course anything can happen. I would be blown out of my chair if either Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, or Terry Fontenot were back next year. Blown out of my chair. But again, anything could happen, so never say never. Brandon and McDonough, you're up first when we get back. Grab a line. Got you for another hour, 404-726-0929. I've had it. I am sick to my stomach today. We're taking your calls on the Falcons flyover. Chris Thomas Turtle, live from Signia. Oh, I am in a beautiful place, but I am not in a beautiful state of mind as the Falcons get blown out again. 37-9. They've played 13 games this year. In three of them, they have been blown out. Make that make sense. 30-0 to Carolina, 34-10 to Miami, and now 37-9 to the Seattle Seahawks. It's gotten to the point where it is utterly ridiculous what is going on with this franchise. And I see all y'all in my mentions. Hit me up at C. Thomas Radio. I'm trying to respond to everybody. I'm right there with you. The frustration, the anger, the sadness, it's mounted to a point now where it's become insurmountable. I mean, how can you say anything positive about this team? They have a couple of bright spot players on defense, and of course, Bijan on offense. But outside of that, there is quite literally nothing to be happy about with this franchise. The complete overhaul of this team that needs to take place is so evident now and is so disheartening. Because we thought we had the nucleus of the roster. We thought all we needed to do was spackle. And I've been trying to hold up that message for so long. And I can't hold it up anymore. This team is broken, this team is flawed, and this entire franchise needs an overhaul. Let me say that again. This entire franchise needs an overhaul. I just need y'all to understand where this team is right now. 4-9, 8 straight years without the playoffs, 8 straight losing seasons. How much more is the fan base expected to take, y'all? How much more is the fan base expected to be in pain? How much longer are you supposed to sacrifice your time, your energy, your money, your fandom, your emotions to a franchise that is just giving you nothing but gut punch after gut punch back? I can't sit here and prop it up anymore. And it's not my job to prop it up. But again, my whole point is I don't do scream and yell radio. I think it's lazy, and I think it's grating. But today I'm screaming and yelling because I have nothing else to do. I have nothing else to do. I'm lost. I'm lost, y'all, and I know y'all are with me. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go with this franchise right now. I'm in the middle of a desert, and I have no sense of direction right now because this franchise has no sense of direction. There is no future. Your quarterback of the future has an ACL injury and needed surgery. I'm running out of ways to describe the horror show that it's become. Brandon's in McDonough. Brandon.
What's up, sir? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good, man. This is my second week calling in, man. Marquise Williams. How long does he keep his job?
I don't know.
He got to go. He got to go. Like, we're losing games basically on special teams. So Marquise Williams got to go, and Raheem Morris missed the find a way. We're 13 games in. We still ain't found that way that he keeps saying that we're going to find a way. He says stats are for losers. Right now, the stats show that we are losers. The Los Angeles Rams are licking their chops right now because they're enjoying this season right now because they get our first-round pick next year.
Yep.
That's all I
Rams
got.
Appreciate it, Brandon and McDonough. Rams are going to get themselves a nice little top 10 pick. Yeah, the last thing that franchise needs, right, is they compete for the best record in the NFC. But James Pierce Jr., Brandon, to his credit, has played really well. It's just crazy to think that when Terry Fontenot made that pick and climbed back into the first round last year and went all in, that this is the place we would find ourselves in 13 games later. I mean, really. When he made that decision to go all in last year and get James Pierce Jr., it was a desperation heave because he knew he couldn't endure another losing season. Well, guess what? You're 4-9, and the house of cards has completely collapsed underneath you. This is where the Atlanta Falcons are right now, with the Los Angeles Rams, as our last caller just said very aptly, licking their chops, watching the Atlanta Falcons play football. Bad football. Keaton's in Douglasville. Keaton.
Yo, turtle.
Keaton.
Man, dude, this team is so dysfunctional.
No, they are. Like, yep, sure are.
As a fan, you want to have hope. Even when they do nothing but prove to you time and time again that there's no point in having hope in them because they're just going to be the same magnificently disappointing, utterly repetitive, blood pressure bird Atlanta Falcons that they're going to be. I mean, year after year after year, I don't know how they're going to. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm ready to sell the 7 C's to watch the Falcons just so they don't get my ratings. I mean, I done went and spent money on Madden 2026 so I can make it work. There's no consolation prize here. Like, the team is always either too good to rebuild or, like, we're right on the edge. And then every year we're fed that. Man, I'm so tired of it, dude. Tell me, why should we even be fans anymore? I appreciate you taking my call, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Keaton. I mean, we signed a lifelong. I mean, listen, y'all know me. I grew up rooting for the Jets, and then I moved to Atlanta to cover the Falcons. So I understand. But you know how it is, Keaton. You sign that lifelong deal. When you grow up rooting for the Dirty Birds, it's a lifelong pact. You can't change teams. It's sort of like your family. You're born into it, and that's what you got. Some people are born into millionaires. Some people are born into poverty, and some people are born in the middle. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons, much like my New York Jets growing up, I was watching a poverty franchise. And right now, the Atlanta Falcons went from a Super Bowl contender to a poverty franchise. And that's what's happened in the last 8 years. And it's so sad to watch, and it's so sad now to cover. You know, poor Arch is going in there to talk to Raheem after these games, and Kirk, and everybody else. I mean, it's just such a sad state of affairs, as Keaton was just saying. Like, we're just, you know, we're angry, we're frustrated, but we're also sad and depressed. Like, another month of this for nothing. The only thing we're watching is the continued growth of the young defenders. That's it. That's the only reason to watch Falcons football for the rest of this year. That's the only reason, is to just continue to watch Pierce and Walker and Watts and Divine Diablo, and watch these guys go to work and hope that Jeff Olbert can continue to have his unit ready to go. The offense is a lost cause. Even if you get Drake London back, they are a lost cause. I have no faith in anybody on this offense outside of Bijan Robinson. That includes Jake Matthews. That includes Chris Lindstrom. I mean, maybe Matt Bergeron fits in that category. Lindstrom and Jake have had bad seasons, in my opinion, especially in games like today where you're going up against bigger defensive tackles. They just struggle so mightily. And you saw it again today. 404-726-0929. It is the Falcons flyover. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you until 7:30. Sam's up next. Sam. All right, let's go to Jim and Conyers. Jim.
Well, back in high school, my high school coach ended up retiring as the county's winningest coach ever. Been successful. He told us, the principal wants a good team, he hires me. I'm a teacher. I teach classes. This is our after-school PE class. I'm teaching you football. You listen. And he told us, you make your breaks. Misfortune can turn into fortune if you keep playing hard. Practice like you play. And it just seems like to me, I don't pour Arthur Blank. I mean, he hires people, but he just don't really know himself. He just believes what he's hired people to tell him.
No, Jim, and I appreciate the phone call. Listen, Arthur Blank, again, I said this on my show yesterday on 92.9 The Game. Arthur Blank is not a football guy. Like, blame is from Blank all the way down to Raw, all the way down to the last man on the practice squad. I am absolving no one of blame. But the one thing we need to understand as we continue to progress this conversation about the future of the Falcons forward, Arthur Blank, the one thing we all need to collectively understand is that he is not a football guy. He is not giving directions and derivatives to say, hey, why did Bijan run zone read to the left instead of zone read to the right? Okay, that is not his prerogative. He did not grow up a football guy. He is not a football guy. He has his people that he has hired and trusted to make the football decisions. Now, like I said yesterday, and I'll reiterate it to those who aren't listening, I think this offseason he needs to reevaluate those people. It's not Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank gives all the money that's necessary. He gives all the money to the community, to the United, to the new NWSL team, freaking Children's Hospital. I mean, this guy is the real deal. But he's not a football guy. Arthur Blank is not Jerry Jones, who meddles in GM meetings and holds press conferences and does everything else, okay? That's not who he is. He's not Dan Snyder, who thinks he's a football guy and makes a mockery of his own franchise. He's a guy that has people that he trusts, that he has put in positions of power, that have let him down in a major way. In a major way, the last 8 seasons. So I think he needs to look himself hard in the mirror and make some really tough decisions about who is helping him progress in his inner circle. That's what I think he needs to do. But again, he is not a football person. He is not telling you to throw the ball to Kyle Pitts more. That's not what he does. He wants to be informed, and maybe he'll have an opinion here and there, but he is a guy who trusts his guys. And right now, his guys are failing him. Special K is in Conyers. Special K.
You're passing. You sound like you've been living here your whole life.
Being a Jets fan, hey, at least I won a Super Bowl at one point in time. So, but I'm just going to lay it out there to you like this. It seems like we get the players, we ain't got the coach. And then we got a coach and we ain't got no players. And I ain't a fan of Raheem. I wasn't a fan of Arthur Smith. But he did more with less, and we got more, and this whole team is doing less. And as far as Albrick being the interim head coach, look, Albrick ain't got to worry about a job. Even if this new regime – gets fired, and he'll be back over in Athens. I was going to go ahead and tell you that. And besides, I mean, it just gets to the point where you see excellence on Saturday, and you see incompetence on Sunday. And as far as all the people that's got PSLs, I would get a lawyer and sue Arthur Blank. I need my money back.
No, Special K. Yeah, I was rolling. No, I got you. I was rolling with you, but we can't. We got to work within the realm of reality here. I am here to take your calls. I am here for all the anger, the frustration, and the passion. But Special K, you can't. I mean, let's keep it a buck here. We're not doing class action lawsuits against Arthur Blank. I know it's bad, but you know. That's just not never going to be something that's on the table. But I love the passion, and I love, you know, you being able to come on here and vent at 404-726-0929. I see Sam is back. He'll be first up when we get back from commercial break. 404-726-0929. I'm pissed off. You're pissed off. Let's talk about it. 404-726-0929. It's the flyover. main responsibility for 92.9 The Game is to be up on the Falcons. Of course, the Hawks and Georgia and the Braves and everything else and United. But it's really about the Falcons. We are the flagship of the Atlanta Falcons. We carry the games. We're your number one home for the Falcons in the country, not just in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. The Atlanta Falcons, in a way, are a big part of the heartbeat of not only this radio station, but everybody that hosts and listens and manages and sales and business. And it all melds together in a big way over this franchise. And to see how far this team has fallen, it hurts your heart. I mean, it really does. I'm angry because I'm hurt, right? It's almost like when you get, if you've ever been cheated on, right? You're sad, but you're more angry because, like, something that you love has hurt you in the deepest way possible. And that just sickens you to your core, to your stomach. And when you invest years, decades, some of y'all. I just had our buddy Keaton hit me up on Twitter. He said, Turtle, I forgot to mention, I got two kids. Like, they're Falcons fans because of me. And now they're watching this every single week. Like, that's what happens. There are generations of Falcons fans in this city and in this state and across the whole South that have grown up and passed this fandom down. And to go 8 straight years without the playoffs, 4-9 right now, and just looking lost. Again, that's the best word I could use. I know our buddy Stakey put out a video today that's gone viral on 92.9 The Game on Twitter. Go check it out. He's just saying essentially that this franchise is lost. There's nowhere to turn to right now for a beacon of hope outside of a few of the key defenders. And that's the biggest shame out of all of it, that we don't have Michael Penix Jr. to continue to watch, that we don't have Drake London right now to continue to watch to develop into one of the best receivers in the league. And we're just left here for the next 4 weeks trying to decipher what Arthur Blank and his staff are going to do about the future of this franchise. I hope we hear something sooner rather than later. I don't think we will. I would be more surprised than not if we hear something. And that's a painful pill to swallow, right? It just is. Our buddy Yo's in Atlanta. Yo.
What's happening, Turtle? Good evening on this beautiful Sunday night in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to ask everybody in Atlanta not to get so down, okay? Our first Super Bowl appearance where everybody was doing the Dirty Bird was in 1998. The next Super Bowl appearance was 2017. Now, after 2017, we went through some real lean years of drafting because we had given a lot of picks away. Nobody wants to talk about that. But we had some real lean years. Out of those drafts, I think we got 4 players still on this roster: Matthews, Lindstrom, McGarry, and A.J. Terrell. So when you look at the context of time, understand that there is a depletion of talent on our team because of decisions that were made 7 years ago, not just the ones that were made 5 years ago. We paid a wide receiver and a quarterback over 30% of our complete salary cap. And when they both left the team, it left us in a bad position and we couldn't afford talent down the roster. We keep getting beat because we don't have talent down the roster, and it shows up the most on special teams. Love you, Turtle.
Appreciate it, yo. Yeah, I mean, how Marquise Williams walks in the building tomorrow, I don't know. Could you imagine being him? Like, if he's not going to get fired, if Raheem is going to keep him on this staff, could you imagine being Marquise Williams and walking in to your building tomorrow? Put the equivalent in your job. If you're an accountant and you screwed up your firm's biggest client because of a rounding error, how are you going to show your face at work the next day? You know? If I you know, all of a sudden lose my mind on the air and start cursing left and right, and I blow our FCC license. Well, I'd be fired. I wouldn't be able to walk into work the next day. You know, if you're a dentist and you chip somebody's tooth in half, you know, it's tough to walk into work the next day. That's Marquise Williams right now. He chipped somebody's tooth. He blew the biggest account at the firm. He's a radio host who lost his mind mid-show and started cursing. That's what the Falcons make me want to do sometimes. A lot more than sometimes, especially this year. That's Marquise Williams right now. That is a tough, tough, tough thing to do. I guess he's going to do it. Maybe we'll find out something this week. But, again, this is the worst special teams unit I've ever seen as a football fan. You know, in my, whatever, 34 years, so probably started watching football when I was, you know, 7 or 8. So near a good 30 years of watching football as a competent football fan, I cannot remember watching an entire special teams unit that was just completely abysmal as the Atlanta Falcons have been in 2025. It's almost unbelievable. I mean, every aspect, the kicking game, the return game, the punt game, Pinions had a really, really up and down year. I mean, just pillar to post on the special teams unit. It's been so bad. And if I'm Marquise Williams, walking in that building tomorrow is going to be a tough, tough thing to do. I am not getting much sleep tonight if I am him. Thankfully, it was a home game, and they don't have to get on a plane. Shane is in Smyrna. Shane.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good work. Hey, for what Arthur Blank lacks in football IQ, he more than makes up for in operational and executive leadership. But why has he not taken Rich McKay to task is beyond me. I'm left to wonder if Rich McKay has some good blackmail dirt on Arthur Blank, because, I mean, you think about the head-scratcher that hurt around the league with when we paid Cousins big. You know, even the insiders around the league were left wondering what happened there. And purely a lack of communication between GM and, you know, as Rich McKay, president and CEO, why isn't he not in the hot seat? It blows my mind. One quick more point, if I may, before you cut me loose.
Yep.
Raheem Morris needs to take the headset off. He never coaches during the game. They're just communicating with among coaches. There's no player-coach interaction. If I'm GM or president and CEO, all the assistants, everybody's out of the box and on the sidelines. We got to go short of changing the mascot. I mean, we got to go to some old school X's and O's, killer instinct. We're playing this arena league style. We're getting pushed around. I hadn't seen any personal foul or late hit. I mean, let's get rowdy. And there's just everything so vanilla. But Rich McKay, I mean, he joined the league or the team in 04. We went to the NFC Championship that very year. So obviously the work was done before he arrived. I mean, there's not been a more underperforming franchise in all of professional sports, never mind football, back to the Super Bowl fiasco. But, I mean, where is the accountability for Rich McKay down? I don't get it.
No, Shane, listen, I understand your passion, and I totally get it. Before I give you, again, what my solution I think needs to be is it's loyalty. Arthur Blank is extremely loyal to Rich and everybody else in his inner circle, and he feels like, clearly, they give him the best chance to put a football team together. I think, and it's more than I think, it's I hope at this point, after watching what's happened with this year, whatever involvement Rich has, and then everybody else in the inner circle. To me, like, I know Rich McKay is the name we all know, so it's the easiest name to pull. We don't know Greg Beatles. We don't know some of the other guys that are in the inner circle for Arthur Blank. So Rich McKay often becomes the scapegoat and the figurehead of it. But he's just one guy. There's a whole, you know, assembly of guys that Arthur Blank has among his staff that are guys that he knows that he can trust to help him make the football decisions. And again, to Shane's point, everybody needs to be held accountable in that room. Everybody, Rich on down, Greg Beatles and everybody on down. Everybody that's involved in the day-to-day operations of the Atlanta Falcons that reports to Arthur Blank, that tries for their job to make this the best football team in whatever way, shape, or form that is for that individual person, needs to be held accountable and needs to be reviewed under a very, very harsh microscope. Because for 8 straight years, this franchise has been abysmal. For 8 straight years, this franchise has failed to meet even the slightest of expectations. So everybody needs to be held accountable. Arthur Blank, I think, is loyal, perhaps to a fault. I think his guys are his guys, and, you know, ride, the expression is, right, ride it till the wheels fall off. And he has. But unfortunately, to Shane and Yo and everybody else, the wheels have fallen off, Gal. The wheels have fallen off. And it's time to do some harsh looking in the mirror and evaluating the people that are closest to you. And I think major changes need to be made. How could you argue, and how could you, if I was a lawyer, and right, and I was trying to present the case of keeping those people around, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Like, all the evidence points against it, right? It smacks you in the face. All the evidence tells you that this thing is not working and major change is needed. How could I sit there and craft a winning argument that anybody from Rich McKay to anybody in that inner circle, to the head coach, to the GM, to the OC, to some of the players that need to be held accountable, how could I build a winning argument that any of those people should retain their jobs for next season? I can't do it. Under what pretense? Oh, you drafted some nice young defensive players. Okay, you're 4-9, and you lost 37-9 today. Your third time out of 13 games, you've been absolutely dismantled and blown out as an organization. You can't justify it. I would lose the argument every single time. Phil is in Ellenwood. Phil.
Yeah, bro. At this point, I agree with you. Like you said, I think it should be a whole fire sale. The people in the front office, Arthur Blank, as an owner, has provided his personnel, people in the front office, the players, every opportunity to succeed. And I feel like all they've done is play in his face. They played in the city's face. And it's time for a fire sale. Get everybody up out of there, bro. As far as the 53-man roster as well, if you're not doing what you need to do to make that roster, don't settle for any player. Make sure every player, we got players sitting on the practice squad that deserve a chance at this point. But they're still sitting on the practice squad. So bring those guys up. Get them some reps. Keep blending out for the rest of the season. We don't want him to further injure himself. And let's just ride this season out and buckle down for the next one.
Yeah, Phil, appreciate it, man. Well, yeah, in terms of Drake, what's the point, right? We know Drake's a dog and he's going to want to play, but for what? I mean, for what at this point? Come back, reconnect with Penix, and, you know, pick it up where you left off as he was headed right for a Pro Bowl season. Eric's in Woodstock. Eric.
Hey, man, here's what I got to say. So many times that we don't hold ourselves accountable, right? You talked about accountability a minute ago. As a fan, I've been to a game. I've been to the games. And you know what? The fans do not hold themselves accountable. I'm sorry, but we are not Steeler fans. We're not Miami Dolphin fans. We're not. I mean, you talk about the greatest fans in the country. We show up to these games, and we do not make enough noise. It's a frigging cocktail party when you go to Mercedes-Benz. I'm sorry, it is. And nobody loves the Falcons. When you go to that stadium and you're watching this team and they have a ton of talent, if you want to talk about coaching and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But hold yourselves accountable as Falcons fans. And you do not. When you go to the game, nobody is showing up there and screaming the way we do. I actually got cussed out of the stadium because I was making too much noise at the game. And I'm like, I'm surrounded by season ticket fans. And I'm like, bro, what are we doing? Why are we not making noise? Why are we not up on first, second, third down? And I'm sorry, hold ourselves accountable. You are a Falcons fan. When you go to the game, be a friggin' fan, I guess I need to say. That's all I got.
No, I appreciate it. Listen, losing sucks, winning helps when it comes to that, right? Losing sucks and winning helps. So you want to talk about the majority of the people there are here maybe visiting Atlanta, or they're a fan of another team, or they're a corporate sponsor, and they don't have the same fire and passion. Well, the average regular Joe fan is freaking pissed off, Eric, just like you. And a lot of them have said, I'm not doing it. I've gotten a lot of calls over the last couple of weeks, an alarming amount, I might say, of people that have told me, listen, Turtle, I'm a diehard Falcons fan. I'm watching at home. And that contributes to the atmosphere that Eric was talking about. Tim is up next when we get back. I got one more segment. So line them up to close this thing out as we continue to try to make sense in the aftermath of a 37-9 blowout loss for the Falcons against the Seahawks. It's the Falcons Flyover. Final couple of minutes on this disastrous Sunday evening as the Falcons fall 37-9. Fall to 4-9. 8 straight seasons without the playoffs and 8 straight losing seasons. It has been nothing short of a disaster. It has been nothing short of a disappointment. And to have the way that this game went again, from the special teams disasters, from everybody else not doing their part, from the coaching staff to the players, it just shows you the state of this franchise right now. And the state of this franchise right now is just an absolute disarray. There's no direction. And that's the scariest part. And I think that's why so many of us want to hear from Arthur Blank. Because we need our leader, we need our steward to come out and provide us some of the answers and the direction that we need. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't know what he wants to do right now. But I just know one thing. Right now, nothing is working. Nothing. Tim is up first. Timmy, go ahead.
Taking my call, man. Look, Raheem was here before, right? Got the interim tag, didn't get it done, didn't get the job.
Yep.
Went to Tampa, got ran out of Tampa. Right. Ended up, you know, with the Rams. What has he done for the Falcons to say, hey, I'm the guy, bring me back, when you didn't do anything to begin with at any stop that you've been at? I mean, I just don't understand. I feel like we make comfortable decisions versus thinking outside the box and changing status quo.
But Tim, who are you hearing advocate for that? I don't think anybody is.
No, I mean, I just don't understand. You know, I mean, we need to change. Everybody tonight has been on point, you know, and you're always on point with this. I mean, you, between you and Mike Bell, I mean, you call it for what it is, and we appreciate that. I just want us to get someone here, because it's sickening to see Ben Johnson have this success. You know, yep. Mike Vrabel, you know, all these people. Why can't we interview Tim?
We interviewed the coach that kicked our ass today.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I just don't understand why we imagine if we
had him working with Jalen Walker
and
Pierce and everybody else.
Agreed. I just hope, you know, it's going to suck to blow it up, but I think what needs to happen and for us to get back on the right track. And you know, that's just where I'm at. It's frustrating. I'll still wear my Falcons gear because, like you said, that's what you're like a family. It's what you do. But it just sucks, man.
No, Tim, appreciate it, man. Love the passion. Good stuff. It is what you do. No, but I would never advocate for you to turn indignant or indifferent to your fan base, to your fandom. Like, we gotta see this thing through. Because here's the flip side to Tim and everybody else, right? I was talking with my producer yesterday for my Saturday show. His name is Josh. Some of you have probably heard him on the station before. He's been here for a few years now. He is a dyed-in-the-wool Detroit Lions fan. He wears it on his sleeve. He wears all the paraphernalia when he comes to the office. That's where he's from. He bleeds Detroit Lions football. And I asked him yesterday, so I was like, man, how does it feel to not have jumped ship? Because he rode with them the entire time. And the joy that I was able to hear from him come through the radio about sticking it out during all those lean years where the Lions were the laughing stock of the NFL, much like the Falcons are now, and had nothing to hang their hat on and wasted the careers of Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. And he was so elated to talk about how good it felt to be a fan through those times and to enjoy what they're doing right now. So for everybody out there, that's the hope, right? That we're going through this now to be able to experience what Lions fans and Bears fans, and yes, I mean, I know they have no kick coming, but Patriots fans, they thought this thing was over. And here we are just a couple of years later, Mike Vrabel's turned the whole thing around. That's the hope, that we get the right guys and gals in here from the front office on down, and they can turn this thing around. But certainly right now, the right people are not in place, and that is abundantly clear. Gabe is in Atlanta. Gabe.
Yo, what's up, Turtle?
What up, Gabe?
So, I'm going to start real quick. I just got to – the guy who said the fans need to hold themselves accountable, no. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm at every game, even the preseason. I even traveled with the team when they went to San Francisco. So, like, don't blame me. I wasn't the one who let the guy, Rashid, you know, Shaheed run a 100-yard kickoff.
Back. You're right.
So,
yep.
The fans are there. We're doing our job. But you're right. We just got the wrong people. And like you said, like, we interviewed with them. And he has a back-to-back 10-win season with two different quarterbacks. He did it last year with Geno Smith. This year he's doing it with Sam Darnold. We can't do it with the same quarterback we had since last year. And, you know, it's just like what it is like you got 11 dudes out there on offense. Everybody has their own individual accolades. Yes, everybody, PFF says Ryan Newell is great. Chris Lynch's great. You know, Bergeron, Bijan, they're all great. But they're not playing like a team. It's not cohesive, and it starts at the top. So blow it up. You know, treat it like the dome. You got rid of the dome, get rid of the team. Blow it up from the top. Start from the top and then fix, because it has to be rebuilt.
No, Gabe, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff, man. I hate to say it, but I'm starting to lean towards that. For the longest time, I've been pounding the table. No, 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 don't blow it up. You don't need to. There's too much talent here. There's too much good. There's too much good. Is there? I mean, we'll have that. I'll be on. I got two full four-hour shows this week. We will certainly be getting into that on Chris Thomas tonight. Have we been overhyping and over-exaggerating what we have here in the building? Again, I've been fighting that narrative all season long. I've been no, 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 great players, great players, great players. There definitely are some great players on this team. Is there enough of a nucleus to build around? That's going to be a tough conversation that we have on Chris Thomas tonight on these very same phones at 404-726-0929. To put it up in summary, 8 straight years no playoffs, 8 straight years of a losing record. As I say on this radio station, over and over and over again, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons need to make some changes and make them immediately. I'll talk to you guys later in the week.